Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the second hour here with Dane Wigginton. We are talking about geoengineering and geoengineeringwatch.org. That is the website where you can learn more. We are want to carry on our conversation here basically about what is going on and in what direction things move. And we talked a little bit in the break here about the power struggle, of course, what's happening right now, which is very interesting in itself. And we'll see if we return to that a little bit later, Dane. But tell us just a little bit more about your particular angle that it actually is warming now. We've seen a lot of things in the headlines that point to the opposite. Of course, we're in a cooling trend. I think people in, of course, the eastern United States will definitely, you know, agree with that because that's what they're experiencing right now. But you see that there's a bigger issue at hand here. A bigger cycle has to do with the accumulation of heat in the water, for example. Tell us more about this.
Well, your points are all valid, and that's how the perspective of people that are actually in some of this engineered cool down, they just can't fathom that it could be warm somewhere else. But here's some hard statistics. The bottom line is we have certain facts that are not argued but never mentioned by those that would present the planet as being cooler. We've just passed the 37th consecutive year of above normal global temperatures, 37 years in a row, 346 months in a row of above normal global temperatures. We just had the warmest November on the planet on record. Alaska just had its warmest January on record. Australia, its warmest 2013 on record. In fact, even in the U.S., you'd think the memory would be a little longer. 2012 in the U.S. was the warmest ever recorded by far. 362 all-time record highs broken in 2012. Zero record lows. None. So we have the 10 warmest years ever recorded. All happened since 2000. I mean, the statistics go on and on. And what really drives the point home, Heinrich, is if you see the NASA, the GISS maps, which show deviation from normal global temperature, from 30-year norm, what you see is a very profound area of blue, which is cooler than normal, over parts of Canada and the eastern U.S., a few parts of Siberia, and a couple of patches in Antarctica, and that's it. The rest of the planet, and those areas are all heavily geoengineered. The rest of the planet is so far above normal. In fact, while we were having these cool temperatures in the lower 48, we had temperatures in the Arctic that were 40 degrees above normal. 40. Nobody reports on that. So when they push this air south, which is what they do, it comes from somewhere. So you had temperatures in the States that were colder than the North Pole, literally. Colder than the surface of Mars, literally. So in some locations. I mean, this was covered by mainstream media. So I would simply try to encourage people. I'm not an Al Gore fan. I Gore's hypocrisy is mind-numbing. But that being said, you have to sift the baby from the bathwater. People have to understand these events are engineered, and when they come up with all these cold records, which the media touts again and again, and that should be a red flag. When you see mainstream media pushing a certain message, you can bet there's an agenda behind that message. So we see them, one, under-reporting temperatures. We see it across the board. In fact, in the West, they routinely underreport the high temperature by 5 degrees, sometimes more. That's a gargantuan difference. So the temperature readings are being skewed. When they geoengineer a cold area, when they cool a region down, they'll take 50 or 100 temperatures for a given region if they think they can create some cold records. In the West, you can take the same area, the regional size area, they might take one reading if it's record warm. So that starts to skew the equation heavily as well. Now let's look at the oceans, as you correctly mentioned. This is the bottom line. 1 cubic meter of seawater can carry 4,000 times the thermal energy of a cubic meter of air. The oceans are record warm and warming by the day. It doesn't matter what climate engineered event they pull off on the surface, what toxic cool down with artificial ice nucleation and jet stream manipulation. The oceans are warming, can't hide it for much longer, period. So what I would argue is within the next, a very short duration of time, that there will be no argument as far as what direction the planet is going. And even today, even for those that feel maybe my facts aren't right, and I challenge anybody who thinks that to investigate, but even for those that feel that, I would appeal to them that no matter what they think, I don't feel there's any rational argument to being sprayed like a test animal is not in anybody's best interest. It's killing everything, including each of us, and we must bring these programs to light, to a halt. So I hope everybody unites in this cause, whatever they're feeling about the climate overall. But At the same time, I encourage people to look at the bigger picture, because if they ever try to sell us geoengineering as a cure, and they are already, for a runaway greenhouse event, there's enough data to say already geoengineering is not a cure. It's a curse. It's part of the problem. It's making the situation far worse, not better. So it's important people do understand what's really happening with the climate and what the true facts and figures are. And the data's there if people look. It's there. And remember, Heinrich, last fall when they said the ice extent was at record highs? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me put that into context. The headline said this: Arctic ice increases by 50%. Well, where does that figure come from? They were referring to the fact that the surface area, the extent, not the mass, just the extent, the surface area was 50% larger than the surface area at the end of 2012, which was a record low. The ice almost disappeared. So it doesn't take much to be 50% over nothing. Even that 50% increase in surface area was still the fourth lowest surface area ever recorded, and the mass at the same time these headlines came out was the lowest ever recorded. And right now, today, and people can Google this, I challenge them to, Arctic ice extent, which is the surface area, is at record lows right now, today. Never made a word of media, not a word. So I think people should understand that should be a big red flag at what direction the media is going now. They're not trying to push global warming. They're trying to hide it now. And that's there's no getting around that. And there'll be no hiding it for much longer. And there's every indication we may have this year or next, it's very likely that we will have an ice-free Arctic in summer. And as hard as that is for people to fathom, look at the data, look at the stats, look at the mass. You have right now the U.S. military preparing for an Arctic that is more open and more navigable. And you have more or less a rush for the Arctic right now going on.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's just going to bring that up. Was it a couple of years now when Russia planted a flag underneath the ice there? A big event, of course. This is what it seems to be moving towards, because who's going to control this territory, resources there, et cetera. A lot of things going on there politically as well.
Exactly. People talk about shipping. There was a lot of headlines. Remember there was six or eight private yachts that got caught in the Arctic about a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? So just like the ship that got caught in the Antarctic, huge headlines, they made a big deal about all of it. But at the same time, what they don't tell you, in 2012, there were 40 commercial ships that were booked for navigating the Northwest Passage. 2013, that number went up by 1,000%. There were 400 ships. Now, how does that jive with an Arctic that's expanding? It doesn't. And the bottom line is, it's all smoke and mirrors. And as the geoengineers allowed three big cyclones in 2013 to basically spread the ice out, and that for them constitutes surface area. So even if it's just a slush on the surface, not per se ice pack, it's just a slush, and probably a nucleated slush at that, because just like the Great Lakes right now are almost completely frozen over, and all the media is jumping up and down about that. We have nucleated ice here in Northern California that we tested. We had ponds that had ice on the surface with nighttime lows of 40 degrees, daytime highs of 65 degrees, and pond water of 40 degrees. How do you have ice on the surface of a pond with those conditions? And we did. And we know what's in that ice. It's chemically nucleated. And I challenge people, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and look at an article I posted 2 days ago that has the lab demonstrations, short 2-minute videos in the article, showing firsthand how profound ice nucleating material is. In fact, one demonstration shows the mixture of barium hydroxide and ammonium. We know barium's in the mix. Ammonium's hard to test for because it gases out. But you can drop temperatures in a lab beaker almost 100 degrees instantly by these two components. Second mix, bacterial ice nucleation. And that is even more profound, that there are certain biological elements that nucleate ice so profoundly that as you drip a few drops in a container of water, it freezes the whole container instantly. This is right on film. People can look at it. So a lot of people don't think this stuff's possible, but they simply have not examined the science. If you went back 200 years and told someone you could talk in a box to anybody around the globe anytime you wanted, they would lock you up. But the fact is, this technology is real. We're seeing the effects of it. And in regard to the ice on the Great Lakes right now, remember the ice boulders? Did you see that, Heinrich?
Yeah, I did from your presentation there. How do we explain that?
it's chemical ice nucleation. I mean, you'd think that they would pose some questions, wouldn't you, if historically this has never happened before the last 3 years?
Yeah.
But now it's happening, 75-pound ice boulders. This is just simply ice that's accumulating around that core nucleating material and causing a phenomenon that's never before been seen. And the signs are everywhere. You know, you have the Weather Channel trying to explain why now the quote-unquote winter storms that they name to make them very theatrical have a warm side and a cold side. So you have winter storms with moisture being pumped straight off the Gulf of Mexico. How does that make a winter storm? Well, they nucleate it. And so you have this transition zone of ice storm between the warm side of every storm now and the cold side. We're about to have another one in the next few days. And this is simply the transition zone where the nucleated material is hitting the ground before it sets up. So you have ice storms now are just the norm. And again, the Weather Channel's job is to explain all this away, and they go into great length to explain this away. But you know, it's incredible to watch the show. It's hard to imagine anybody buys it, but they do, for the moment. So again, as far as the overall state of the planet, people need to understand these cold events are being totally engineered, and if we take geoengineering out of the equation and the fact that it's blocking 22 to 25% of the sun's direct rays, when you eliminate all that, there will be nobody that's even partially awake that won't truly understand the gravity of the warming that's occurring on the planet right now.
Now, early 2000s, there was a lot of hurricanes, you know, they kept coming every year with the culmination, I think, of Katrina there, and then it kind of died down a little bit, and it seemed to have been nothing. And now it seems like we're entering into this period of these intense winter storms instead then. So is this... Again, do you think that this is an effect of something which they kind of started up and now it's getting, you know, it's going in the opposite direction, or is it completely induced, the winter storms, and they know exactly that this is what they want to achieve at the moment?
Oh, they're absolutely engineered. Now, in the case of the hurricanes, you're bringing up a very good point. So you had the devastating year 2005, 2006 with all the major impacts to the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Then they stopped. They just stopped. Now, even according to the Discovery Channel, the U.S. reinstituted its hurricane suppression program, and we can see this happening. You have patented products like Dynamat for hurricane suppression. Now, people who say, no, they can't do that, they simply haven't studied the science. They absolutely can squash hurricanes, especially when the early stages of their rotation. This product, Dynamat, takes the convection right back down to the ground, stops the convection, period. And we see any circulation that's heading toward the U.S. or in a spot they don't want it to spin, miraculously, again and again and again, it comes apart. It literally disassembles. So in the case of the Gulf of Mexico, where there's a sea of oil sitting at the bottom, nothing has spun up there since that happened.
Yeah,
they don't want it to spin up. Mm-hmm. They don't want to churn that big mess up, where they're still probably spraying Corexit at the wellhead to keep the oil on the bottom. So again, they're suppressing the system from every direction. And now, simply to try to hide and confuse the population. They're definitely confusing the population. I don't argue that. I mean, for people who are living through what is being portrayed as record cold winters, it's very confusing for them. But they have to look past their horizon. They have to look past that. Where you have in Australia, for example, it got so hot in 2013 that they literally had to change the color coding on the meteorological maps to reflect temperatures never before seen in the 130s. So people need to look at the bigger picture. They simply need to look at the bigger picture and understand that these, especially the cool downs, are being engineered. Sochi Olympics, warmest Olympics ever recorded. Did you catch that one?
No.
Warmest Olympics ever. So, and you have other demonstrations of their ability to cool things down. The Copenhagen Climate Conference and the Cancun Climate Conference. At both events, there was record cold temperatures at the event, at the time of the event, in spite of warmer temperatures in the surrounding regions. How can that be? It's a demonstration of geoengineering. So what do we have accomplished at these events? We had no progress toward any reduction in global pollution. We had what we believe to be backdoor deals, either leveraging or coercing countries to sign on to geoengineering. Suddenly we had countries cutting their renewable energy programs because it doesn't make much sense to pay for solar to go up when you're paying to block the sun at the same time. And we had, right after those events, we had the futures for aluminum jump 27%. So the dots seem to connect completely.
I was at Copenhagen COP 15. It was cold as hell. I'll tell you that. Actually, the wind was ferocious. It started snowing. It was of course hilarious in that context, of course, because what they're talking about. But what would you say? Who is running the program, or is it run under a certain, I don't know, heading or banner? Is it off the books, kind of black budget run? These are, of course, again, very difficult questions, but is it more that this is on the initiative, do you think, of a few people who direct, like, okay, this is what we're going to do now, or how do you think it's structured and run?
I think it's very compartmentalized, and only a few at the top really understand the full ramifications, and the rest are just carrying out orders. And one example that I cite is a KC-135 pilot I spoke to that had no idea what he did up there. And he apparently went back and asked questions and ended up medicated behind a desk. So I guess you don't ask questions. And for those that know, I think a lot of people just simply do their job. You know, how do we have things happen like we've seen so many times throughout history? Horrible, horrible things that people just doing their job, which is no excuse.
No.
It's absolutely no excuse. But we look at examples like, let's take Agent Orange in Vietnam. Did those pilots realize they were killing their own fellow comrades on the ground with this stuff? They didn't, apparently. I don't think they would have done it otherwise. And the same with depleted uranium. What about that? I mean, how many of our own troops have died from our own ammunition, depleted uranium?
Right.
So I think it's just a matter of ignorance with most of those involved, or compartmentalization, and then those on top, at the top, of course, you know, they're too psychotic to have any moral compass in all this, so... It's a bad mix, and the American population as a whole, you know, I'm sorry to say, but it's just a simple fact that they are so conditioned and so apathetic in their life right now that it's hard to mobilize them. They just don't seem to see the forest from the trees. There's too many episodes of American Idol to watch or something, and it's a bad equation, you know. But they're going to have to wake up soon, because we literally can't grow food in Northern California. This is a very fertile area, and a 100-foot garden bed that we used to have, it was a jungle with almost no maintenance at all. We can't grow 10 feet of that. We can't grow a tomato here now, and we're not alone. I mean, the soils are all but sterilized, and again, 90% aquatic insect life decline in our streams that were pristine 10 years ago, 90%. It's astounding that this isn't headlines, but they're... just simply the media is just designed to cover this stuff up.
It's an awful mess, obviously. It's kind of all over the place. You might even have, as we kind of detailed before, internal struggles within this, which makes it even more complicated to really kind of lay the puzzle, if you will. But what do you think we're up for then in the next few years here? Where is this going to take us? And is that direction, do you think, is going to be completely planned, or is it unknown consequential areas that we're going to head into here?
I think the latter. We're definitely in uncharted water, and even though those in power, I'm sure, have very complex agendas, I would argue they're not going to reach fruition, for the simple fact that the people carrying out this agenda for those in power will find that their families are up to their necks in alligators with problems here, that as the links in the chain start to break, that chaos will ensue, and that those in power will not be able to carry out their agenda. And certainly they've tried. In fact, I don't know if you know, Heinrich, in 2010 when they did the census in America, did you know that they GPSed everybody's location?
No, did you know? No.
Okay, they GPSed every single home. I live in the middle of nowhere. They had to hike into my house, and they did twice, I guess, to make sure they had me down. They GPS your doorstep. Now, why would they do that? Does that fit in with the drone programs? Is that the plan of the power elite, to just terrorize the population with drones, knowing they... I don't know. I mean, this is strictly speculation, but when you see them ordering, again, 2.2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point, which is
right,
really not argued, well, something's coming. Something's coming for sure. So I think that we're, again, in uncharted territory. Every empire has failed, every single one. No matter how elaborate their plans are, they always miscalculate the totality of their actions, and I think this is no different. The difference now is only in this, that the consequences we face may be total. We're in the sixth great mass extinction today, we're losing statistically 200 plus species of plant and animal a day to extinction. It's 10,000 times background rates. And these are hard facts. People can deny it because they haven't heard it on the mainstream media, but they're hard facts that are not going to be able to be hidden much longer.
Yeah, and it seems like the balance of power here as well is towards globalization. Obviously, the power elite has no allegiance with the U.S., for example, although they're using the U.S. to do their bidding, going into countries, you know, setting up certain political structures, using the military and everything else. But at the end of the day, of course, I think that the power structure is going to turn its back on America and actually use the downfall of it to further kind of take us towards globalization and you know, internationalism, if you will. So it's a very interesting situation right now where people are going along with something, and I don't think that they see the full picture of where this really is going. But do you see that balance of power is going to try to be accomplished to a certain degree, that they're not going to be a superpower per se left on the geopolitical scene, but this is going to be about balancing the power between many different countries?
I think your scenario about our country being a tool for a larger global power structure is exactly right. I think you're exactly on target with that. And it's unfortunate the American public doesn't really seem to... They're waking up to that. I have to admit that. I mean, I was on a radio show today, Agenda 21, with a group of people that are waking up to this. So they are waking up. But I think that, again, the scenario you laid out is correct. But as it comes down to a final implementation of whatever the global power structure has planned, I would argue that because of events that are now completely out of their control, and the climate implosion and resource depletion are two of those events, that the chaos that will ensue, I believe, will make their plans untenable. And not that such cataclysmic factors are a good thing, but if it keeps the power structure from following through completely, there is a silver lining in such a meltdown, if you will. And I think we're very close to that. You mentioned time frames earlier. You know, nobody knows. I don't have a crystal ball on this. But if you look at trajectories and momentum and the time to point of impact, it's like watching a car. If you saw a car going 100 miles an hour 10 feet from impact, you can't say for sure exactly where the pieces will fly, but you can say no matter what, it's going to hit soon. No application of the brakes is going to stop that. And in fact, in this case, we're not hitting the brakes, we're hitting the accelerator. So we're very close to, I believe, a change of paradigm, and it could happen tomorrow, could happen in a few months, but I would argue it's close. And the power structures we discussed earlier being backed into a corner the way they are, I would expect something to come down the pike fairly soon. You take a 9/11 event, and you know it's astounding to me. Building 7 on 9/11, which a lot of people don't even know there was a third building that came down. But I'm personally astounded that people don't recognize that for what it is.
I agree.
Astounded. Yeah. So that sort of blindness is hard to grapple with. And now we have it sounds like a rerun speech of the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and so on and so forth, and even people I know who I told before we even went to war in Iraq that I'd looked at the data, I'd looked at every, Scott, I can't think of his name, he was the weapons inspector there in Iraq, Scott Ritter, but the data was there. There was clearly no weapons there. And even people I told before that point, and then later it was proved, and still today, they seem to have erased their memory and don't recall that it was all lies. So now they some of them seem to buy the sort of nonsense being spewed out by our government and our media right now, but at least the numbers are dwindling, and I think we're closer to a tipping turning point where a lot of people in the herd that are afraid to stand up on their own are now realizing they're not alone, and that people are recognizing to a greater degree the level of insanity we face, because the cancer it's hard to get your arms around. The level of the cancer that now controls the planet, the country, it's hard to comprehend the size of it. Truly.
Yeah, I agree. And also at that time, I think it's even more important to remain vigilant in terms of what the changes are that are proposed, because counter to this, as I'm seeing exactly what you're describing occurring, you can also almost envision how in some cases you see it flat out, how the the solutions to those problems are outlined to funnel that energy and that enthusiasm for doing something, for changing how we what we do, etc., to funnel it down into a structure which at the end of the day is going to lead us even more into a control system, you know. So it's very important to be vigilant in that regard, and realizing that, you know, we have to attain something which leads us to, you know, truly towards independence and freedom in that regard, and not swallow the, you know, the fake pill, if you will, that we're being told to take in some cases.
I agree. And some people right now, we're trying to, as I addressed in my last PowerPoint, that when one is faced with the horizon that's dark, what does one do? And it comes down to philosophy for me. People have to adopt a philosophy that will allow them to function. And we have to want to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because we're guaranteed a specific result. And those that are looking for a guaranteed result of happily ever after, if they do A, B, and C, those people tend to fall away in the fight very early. And right now, if people simply focused on what's the most important challenge we face, if the ship is sinking and the water's coming over the deck, do you polish the deck rails or you do try to get down to the bottom of the ship and plug it? And I would argue that's what geoengineering is. If we don't stop geoengineering, there's many aspects that will make everything else a moot point. But at straightforward face value, we know we're inhaling this stuff with every breath. We know it crosses the blood-brain barrier. We know it's affecting our ability to think cognitively. So how can we face any other challenge? If we don't deal with this issue and stop this contamination, how can we face Fukushima, which is still potentially a global game-changing event, or the other Fukushimas that might come along? We have to be able to function in a clear enough fashion and a healthy enough fashion to meet other challenges. So all roads lead back to geoengineering. It's killing the planet, killing the environment, crushing the hydrological system, and killing us, period. So it just simply must be dealt with.
Now, you mentioned, of course, that is kind of a out of control scenario, the path we're on currently. And just to mull on that point for a little bit more, what about the basic prospect as well that the chaos is a part of the plan, that the out of control, you know, that the path that we're on, that also is part of the picture to lead the world towards the brink of, you know, catastrophe. And there's a number of different, you know, reasons for this. We could talk about it from the perspective of depopulation again, then, to not only attack on the one front, but multiple front at the same time, from war and famine to geoengineered food to geoengineering the planet and the climate. We can see the buildup of the seed vaults around the world, that you have an ongoing kind of build up for something to also preserve it at the same time, which is, of course, a key, I think, and a very interesting point in all of this, that it might be the very out of control scenario, the catastrophe, if you will, is the plan to actually wipe the slate clean to a certain extent. And I mean, if we wanted to go further and even speculate even more, we could even argue that, all right, there might even be you know, all the ongoing investigations of finding another planet in the Goldilocks zone right now might be part of this. As far as we know, there could be a black ops program that actually are looking to you know, populate Mars or even another planet. We ultimately don't know, because the budgets that the elites are dealing with is just astronomical. And you mentioned this in your presentation as well, that it's really beyond money at this point. They print it, they control it. It's not a limitation in terms of economy, at least, right?
You're exactly correct. And you bring up very valid points, that this sort of chaos and disruption that's caused from these continued weather events, so many layers to everything that's going on. So that causes confusion with what's really happening with the planet, and it causes people to be immersed in their own immediate difficulties, so they can't really focus on anything in the bigger picture, and that, of course, renders them less capable of understanding what's going on, let alone addressing it. And all these things are connected. And then if we look at the Hadron Collider, for example, what is it they're really trying to accomplish with the Hadron Collider, and how far are they advanced in certain realms or technologies that have not been disclosed? I don't know either. When you look at cosmologically, I think the last figures I saw, that in our galaxy alone, there's probably 500 million stony planets in the Goldilocks zone. So that's, you know, it's hard to imagine there's nothing else out there. What else have they hidden? Was there,
yeah.
Are there extraterrestrial life forms here that we don't know about? I can't say I don't know, but what I can say is that knowing that they can hide a building that's a 50-story steel high-rise that clearly was demoed, and the excuse we're given is there was a few chairs and couches burning on the first floor, that to me tells me they can hide anything in plain sight. And then the spraying above us, I mean, that people can't see that's clearly something being dispersed. And we could go on and on, but the degree for the public to buy lies, and the bigger the lie, the more they buy it, who knows what other realities are out there that we don't know about.
Well, exactly. I just want to refer quickly to another story as well. We posted a couple of days ago on the ITER, for short, the International Thermonuclear Experiment Reactor. Just reading a little bit here, it's a reactor that they're planning to build in I think it was southern or northern France. I forget exactly where. They allegedly planned it to do it for a while now. It's slated to go ahead maybe 10, 15, maybe even 20 years from now. This massive structure, which is basically it's going to be twice the weight of the Eiffel Tower. It's going to be a densely packed, basically high precision equipment that will encase a vacuum chamber, where they will produce a super hot cloud of heavy hydrogen that was going to rotate faster than the speed of sound, twisting like a strand of DNA. The cloud will be scorched by electrical currents, a surge that's going to be so powerful that it will make lightning seem like a tiny arc of static electricity, and it's going to be bombarded by concentrated waves of radiation. And all of this is going to be kept together with a compartment of magnets, basically, because it's going to be a star in a bottle. That's the kind of the term they use for it. And this is going to be a new energy source, basically. And it's as I'm reading this article, I'll link it up to this program as well so people can go read it if they haven't already. And I was just this frightening prospect as I was reading it, when you know what has happened with previous, you know, nuclear technology and Fukushima and everything else. This could literally be a machine. They, of course, in the article, they talk about that this could, you know, save the planet because of the energy production and everything else. But it could also literally destroy the planet. And it's just this kind of, as you're reading and getting into the mindset, I'm mentioning this as well, Dan, because you brought up CERN and the Hadron Collider and these massive, huge projects which cost just billions of billions. This particular one, again, about the ITER, they actually have gone so far that they've developed a new currency that's called the ITER, just to be able to fund it, because so many countries are involved in it, and it's just so complex to do it. But it's this obsession with explodemia, the explosive kind of mentality of how we're going to find energy, and it's just like, it's just an immense, you know, death machine. That's how I see it when I'm reading about this. And I urge everyone to go and read about it again, the ITER, and just check up that, because it's pretty interesting. And it's that type of mentality that kind of bridges on to what we've been talking about here today, I feel, Dane, that this is the mentality of just complete experimentation and no real understanding of the consequences of what we do. And I think if we continue on that line of thinking, we don't have too much future ahead of us, Dane.
I think all your points are valid. And in the case of the nuclear situation, $6.5 billion was just approved for new nuclear facilities in Georgia. And this, in spite of the fact that we have three reactors in full-blown meltdown through the containment vessel, China syndrome, right now, no end in sight, no technology to fix it, and yet they're going to build more. And if that's not the epitome of human insanity at face value, and then anything they plan, these estimations of projects for 10, 20 years down the road, I would argue it's never going to happen. I think that the collapse of civilizations we know it is much, much closer. And this is what makes it so hard for the population to comprehend this, because everything they see paints a picture of a future for them. That, you know, these speculations of this is going to happen in 2020 or 2030 or 2040, and it just simply doesn't fit into people's realities. So you can literally be already off the edge of the cliff and in free fall, and people don't even realize they stepped over the edge yet.
Exactly, yeah.
And right now, we're in free fall from the 100th floor, passing the second story, the sidewalk's the next stop, and people still think they're flying. You know, because you leapt off a building and you had a little bit of space between you and the ground, doesn't mean you're flying. And civilization as we know it was always unsustainable, completely, the way it's structured. And there's just so lack of reality, such a lack of reality in so many people that even though they're staring it in the face right now, you have the oceans imploding, literally imploding, fish stocks down 95%, pelagic fish populations. You have resource wars happening all over the globe, and your average American has no clue that anything's even wrong. It's astounding.
The collapse of civilization, of course, a point addressed many times by many philosophers and academics and everything else. Maybe it is a blessing in disguise, a reboot of sorts. Of course, if it's meant to be, and if it's meant to be a reboot, because you know they expect something else to come after it, then it's a frightening prospect, of course. But if it is something that just kind of spins us out of control and almost like the mythological stories, Dane, that we get to us of, you know, Atlantis and everything else, it echoes of that to a certain extent, nonetheless, whether we believe in that or not, that we have a high culture and achieve tremendous, you know, scientific progress, but then there is an abuse of that, or rather it's that the good people, those who have a moral stance and everything else, have not only not spoken up, they've been prevented by the very governments and mechanisms in place to make sure that the people who are unfit to run the ship, if you will, has just taken control of the vessel and ramming it right into the iceberg. So it's a double-edged sword. We're partially responsible, but at the same time, we've been taught not to interfere, or we can't, you know, quote unquote, take the law into our own hands, etc. But something has got to give. That's my point here. And if there is a reboot of civilization or society, the human world, maybe that is a blessing in disguise. I'm not sure. What do you think about that, Dane?
You bring up a profoundly important question that I never really talk about on the air, and certainly no one ever poses it to me. But I agree with you 100%, and that's exactly how I see this coming collapse. Because short of some unforeseen force, collapse is inevitable and close, and I see it as a giant step forward. Because if the current machine is allowed to continue grinding up what little is left, we'll have nothing left, nothing to salvage. Very soon we'll have nothing left to salvage. And I've had people, former close friends, that felt I was twisted and demented for actually seeing collapse of this current paradigm as a step forward. And I question who's really twisted in their perspective. If these people would sacrifice any hope of a future for their child so that their party could continue a little bit longer, a year, 6 months maybe, if they're willing to sacrifice any possibility of a future for their child to keep their own paradigm going a slightly longer, then I would argue they're the twisted ones.
Yeah.
If this is a completely untenable scenario and every day it continues reduces any chance we have for a future, that it needs to collapse. And I would argue again that that collapse is very close. It's simply, if one looks at the true trajectories here, that the plummeting resources, we talk about hydrocarbon or fracking. Let's take fracking. How incredibly insane is fracking? To pump 500 plus chemicals, many of them still undisclosed, into holes to permanently contaminate groundwater. We just heard several days ago they're dumping the fracking water off the coast of California. I wonder why all the marine mammals are washing up dead. We look at all these scenarios that are being done right now, pumping hydrocarbon out of the ground. In 1900, you could get 100 gallons of hydrocarbon out of the ground with 1 gallon of hydrocarbon of energy. Now it's 7 to 1, 6 to 1. It's very energy intense to get anything out of the ground. At a certain point, it becomes an energy net negative.
Yeah.
Just like the tar sands right now. I mean, people think that's a resource. It's not a resource. It's simply an exchange of energy at a massive net loss, where it takes 1.45 units of energy to get one out, a conversion with an excess natural gas to convert the tar sands to hydrocarbon. You're losing. You're not gaining. And yet people don't see it.
It's like living on debt, taking out a loan to keep going, you know?
that's modern civilization. But I think the walls are closing in again. And if people, as dark a picture as we've painted, and it's simply reality, and people need to see that reality, because to candy coat it at this point is in nobody's interest. But I would challenge everybody to adopt a philosophy. Ask yourself why you're here and what it matters, how much it matters to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, period. And to stand up, to make your voice heard, to affect this equation for the better, to disclose, help to expose and stop the single greatest and most destructive human activity ever, climate engineering, is a giant leap in the right direction, no matter what. So if people can focus their energies and not be distracted and remember that certain things matter in and of themselves, for every person you wake up along the way, every person whose consciousness you help to affect, every person whose vision you help to expand, that major effort matter, period, in and of itself. People need to adopt such a philosophy so that they don't lose heart on this trek.
Yep. And how do you view the becoming self-sustainable suggestion as well on top of this, that certainly we can warn, we can talk, we can spread information, we could work as hard as we can to prevent what's going on out there, but ultimately you come to at a certain point you realize as well that there has to be a willingness from people out there who are supposedly should be receivers of this information, that they need to have an interest and even want to learn about this stuff. Otherwise you become just a nuisance with a megaphone and it really doesn't matter. And if that's the scenario, you of course speak to those you can, right? Well, of course you do that and you try the best you can to wake people up. But otherwise, beyond that point, you realize that, okay, well, at least I have to do the best I can to personally and individually and those I care about, my family, etc., to become as sustainable, self-sustainable as you can to be able to potentially, survive and live through hardship where we might see a collapse of civilization occurring, correct?
Yes, and a couple points you made there. One, again, back to geoengineering, it's tearing apart the life support system of the planet so totally that I would argue if we don't stop it, we will not be able to sustain ourselves, period. I mean, I've grown up in the woods. I'm very familiar with the forest, the wilderness, and I, my whole life, I could not survive in the 2,000 square miles of wilderness that's in my backyard right now because the environment is so decimated. If I had to survive there, I couldn't. There's so little wildlife right now. There's so few native plants still sprouting. It's that bad. So we have to stop the climate engineering, period. And for those who don't want to wake up, yes, I agree. I don't continue to bang my head in the wall. They're not ready to wake up. As the Chinese proverb says, you can't wake one who's pretending to be asleep. So I move on. But I plant a seed. And I would argue this, the seeds we are planting, and even passing out flyers, we have very effective information flyers on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. You can download them for free, print them locally. Single-page flyer. Works 10 times better than anything you can disseminate orally. But the planting of those seeds, even if they don't sprout initially, I would argue they'll sprout soon enough as events on the ground fertilize that seed. As people start to see things happening, and they'll hear something from someone else, they'll see something that on the news that might correlate with the information they've been given, don't lose heart. Continue to plant seeds, and flyers are cheap to print. So, it's up to all of us. Bottom line is none of us have the right to sit the bench on this. None of us. Everybody has to engage. So don't lose heart for those that don't want to wake up. They'll be forced to wake soon enough. In the meantime, it's imperative that we do not give up and that we continue to sow these seeds of awareness and raise human consciousness.
All right. Well, very good. We're going to begin to wrap things up here for this time. I hope we can have it back again at some point, Dan, and continue our conversation. And of course, keep up the good work, keep covering these issues. And please let us know if you have any talks or anything else upcoming. Otherwise, please leave us with your website again, Dan, and we'll end there.
Again, geoengineeringwatch.org is my site, and we will continue to try to put data there that people can use for tools to help waking others up. And it was absolute pleasure with you in this discussion, Heinrich. And I'm grateful for all you're doing to raise awareness and the work you're doing for the common good.
And that concludes our program for today. We have much more coming. Next, we'll talk about the strange murder case of Annie Börjesson. After that, Sofia Smallstorm returns again. We also have Mark Weber, Judith Mary Baker, and many more coming up. Please tune in again when it works for you. As you might know, you can stream or download from the website, redicemembers.com. And of course, if you subscribe to our RSS feeds, our latest programs can come directly to you as soon as a new program is out. The FAQ or help section has more on this on the members' website. You have full instructions there on how to hook it up to your mobile device or to your computer. Okay, thank you to all our members. My thanks to Frederick, Lana, Elizabeth, and John. I hope we'll speak to you again in just a few days. Take care. Until then, we'll see you on the website.